Today's readings are all about faith and belief. We've come to that time in the story of Jesus, which continues to our own time. As the church year has unfolded, we've been led through the Gospels that told the early church and tells us of Jesus' birth, ministry, teachings, death, and resurrection. But that great cycle has come to a climax. Last Sunday, we celebrated our story's emergence from darkness into light, into the great hosanna of the resurrection. And now we are at a plateau of indecision. What is next now that Jesus' personal earthly ministry has concluded? We are in the delicate moments when the witnesses must proceed, tell the story that Jesus is no longer telling, and energize those who were not present for any of it to believe, to have faith. And it is obvious that this was a challenge for the first witnesses, just as it is a challenge for us. The Gospel of John tells us that Jesus appeared to his chosen followers and breathed on them to inspire them and help them. And remember that the words inspire and spirit both come from the Greek word for breath. Jesus thus empowers these witnesses with the Holy Spirit and commissions them to carry on his ministry. As the Father sent me, so I send you. And the one disciple who was absent and so did not believe is given another chance. However, Jesus makes clear that he will give blessings to those who believe without seeing his resurrected form. And here, unlike Thomas, is where Christians down through the ages find themselves. We must believe without touching his side, without seeing the marks of the nails in his hands. And although we even have churches dedicated to St. Thomas, we hold to the idea that we should believe, whether we touch and see or not. As one of the early church fathers said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." Many of us might claim it as our own plea. So what it is that we can call upon to support our faith, since we cannot, like Thomas, get that second chance? In Peter's letter, we hear words spoken to Christians who came to belief after the disciples had begun their ministry. The writer of this letter acknowledges that these new Christians have come to believe through a living hope. Although you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and rejoice with an indescribable and glorious joy. The New Testament epistles speak clearly to us, for we're in the same situation as the members of those early churches. We hear the stories and we believe the teachings, and it is through our witness, not of the historical life of Jesus, but of the results of his life and teaching and example, that we are sustained in that hope of which Peter writes. I believe the core of our faith is in the loving interactions of Jesus with others, all others. He professed and commanded love, and he exemplified love, touching and teaching and healing and sharing with any who had need of him. He told his followers and us to love God and to love each other. And he ate with all levels of people without claiming any superiority for age, gender, station, nationality. He healed those who needed him, not exempting the poor, the foreigner, the outcasts. This is our lesson. And I believe that if we can learn it, our faith will be strengthened and clarified. Jesus died on Good Friday, but his ideas did not die. His emphasis on love did not die. His grace to all conditions of people did not die. So in Easter, we witness the living resurgence of all that he taught. The disciples in fear had hidden themselves away, but now Jesus returns to them to replace their fear with peace and their loss with renewal. After Jesus was crucified and then appeared to a few of the many who had followed him, those chosen to continue his teachings, were faced with the challenge of representing Jesus to a world that had not personally witnessed his life and teachings. They were sent out not to sit and meditate on the great works of Yahweh, nor to enter a monastery for prayer and contemplation. They were sent out to tell the stories that Jesus had told them, to be living witnesses to the goodness of God, and also to teach all the world about the power of reconciliation and love. They were not instructed to worship Jesus, but to follow him. The first reading today is not from the book of Contemplations, but from the book of Acts. And what we heard today follows immediately after the selection of Matthias to replace Judas among the disciples. And the report of the Pentecost event, when people from every nation under heaven could understand what the disciples were saying, no matter what languages they knew. So what Peter announces is, in effect, the first sermon from the first teachers. And the message of this first sermon is, Jesus was sent by God to perform deeds of power, wonders, and signs. And further, Jesus is the fulfillment of King David's predictions. And even though David died, this descendant of David did not die but was raised up. Peter here assures his hearers that Jesus had been sent by God to perform great deeds, and secondly, that Jesus was freed from death. It is only then that the deeds and wonders and admonitions gain credence for the hearers of these first sermons. I have a friend whom I've known since we were undergraduates. She lives in San Francisco, so we meet occasionally. She came to my ordination. She's a historian by trade and is especially an expert on British history. So it's not surprising that she's intrigued by the Anglican Church, its place in the world, and its history and belief system. She has never been baptized, although she occasionally attends services at Grace Cathedral. I would be baptized if I could believe everything in the Nicene Creed, she recently told me. So what should I say to her? Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Is the right hand of God an actual location? What does it mean to be conceived by the Holy Ghost? What does the resurrection mean? Are we a lot like Thomas? Can we only believe it if we can see it? I think we are very much like the first Christians, not those who actually followed Jesus in his own brief earthly ministry, but those second generation and third generation Christians to whom Peter and Paul and Luke and the others preached and wrote. They were told by witnesses and then by those who had heard from witnesses, and then those who were told by those who had heard from witnesses. And by the time the church's creeds and liturgies were formed and formulated, the main ingredients for followers was faith. Faith that Jesus lived and died and lives again. Faith that what he exemplified and taught was that we honor the Creator, the Maker of heaven and earth. Faith that we are loved by God and that we are to love each other in response to that love. And do we believe the literal words of the creed? Yes. And no. And sometimes. And partly. What is important is to know who our model is and what he did and what he taught. As Edmund Spencer wrote, love is the lesson which the Lord us taught. And as St. Francis urged, teach others of the love of God. Use words if necessary. I believe that the words of the creed are symbols of mystery that demand contemplation and interpretation. And no particular interpretation is the final word about the meaning of the text. Carl Jung warned against the reification of metaphor, that is, holding the metaphor as a concrete and literal entity. Understanding the metaphor as literal destroys its power, so it becomes a dead idol, said Jung. I'm not really worried about the literal words of the Nicene Creed. I spent many years studying and teaching about the uses of language, descriptive, figurative, metaphoric, narrative. What does concern me is how I will continue to strive for understanding and grace, how to grow in love. I want to continue to share in the holy meal with you, be strengthened by that, to carry out into the world the lesson that the mighty deeds and wonders of Jesus show. And I hope one day to baptize my college friend, having helped her to see that faith and belief are not based on scientific facts, not formulated by mathematics, not to be found on Google Earth, or even on Google Heaven. Like Thomas, I'd like to see it for myself. But I must be clear about what it is I want to see, and what, in fact, I already do see. May we here at St. Luke's continue to live in faith in the living Christ, balancing our witness to the love of God with our readiness to question and think things through. Lord, we believe. Help thou our unbelief. Amen.